Well, good morning. I strongly believe that we gather here for several different purposes, but one is to worship the Lord in music, song, you know. And then we worship the Lord and the Word and the preaching of the gospel. And Lynn and I love you guys, and we've got a lot of folks in our family, our church family, who are struggling, and family members are struggling, and so we just always want to be mindful that we pray for each other and lift each other up and encourage one another and be there for each other when we can. We've got a lot of folks out this morning traveling and vacationing, going to all their summer adventures, so we pray for their safety and get back. Amen. God's good, isn't He? It really is. God is good. So this morning we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. As you're turning, I'll give a commercial for a vacation Bible school, right? Make sure you invite the kiddos that you have a rapport with, and maybe the grandchildren, and I'd love to see a good turnout like we did last year. I want to thank everyone that's involved in making all these props and all the stuff behind the scenes. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. You know. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, as always, to come into your house and worship you and study your word. Lord, thank you for our friends and our family. And we just ask you to bless this time that we have this morning. Help me, Lord. I desperately need your help through this one. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, the New King James Version. I believe that Deary has it up on the monitor also. So, let's read. Verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Verse 17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. Now this morning we're going to be talking about the rapture of the church. It's a little different message for me, but I felt like this is what the Lord put on my heart. And so we're gonna do a little intro of the rapture. Lately, I've been feeling in my heart that we need to talk more. A couple of Sundays ago, remember we talked about the spirit of the Antichrist that's in the world now and doing his wicked deception and tricking the world. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture, as most of you know, is not really in the Bible, the word rapture. The term rapture comes from a Latin, an old Latin word, which means carrying off or transporting or snatching away, as some like to say. However, the concept of carrying off or the rapture of the church is clearly taught in the Scriptures. Now, I know that when you start talking or teaching or preaching about the rapture, there's several camps out there. There's several beliefs, many different beliefs now about the rapture. I'm just going to keep it simple, and I'm going to teach for the basic, you know, Southern Baptist message and faith of pre-tribulation rapture. That's what I believe, and you know, I guess we'll all find out the truth about all these things when we get to heaven, right? And so, but this morning, you know, I'm going to talk about pre-tribulation rapture. Now, the rapture of the church is the event in which God snatches away all believers from the earth to make room for God's judgment upon the earth during the tribulation period. And most of you who have studied that know that the rapture of the church comes and then the seven-year tribulation. And what they say, the study of eschatology, which means the study of the end times, says that pretty much for the first 3.5 years, it's going to start looking like, for those people who are left behind, that things are going to be getting better. You know, they will formulate this one world government and the one world monetary system, you know, money system, and the one world religion. And this cat, the Antichrist, is going to be setting up this. It's going to start looking kind of good. He's going to solve some of the world's problems. And then, but around that 3.5 year, he's going to require everyone to bow and worship him. And then it's going to get real ugly. You know, and so, but this is not that sermon. The rapture is described primarily in the Scriptures we just read and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So bear with me. Let me read this out of 1 Corinthians. So hang with me. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Verse 51 says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. Verse 53, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Sounds like Thor or something, doesn't it? Anybody? Sorry. Then, when our dying bodies has been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Verse 54 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? Now, God will resurrect all believers who have died, and he would give them glorified bodies. He would take them from this earth. And all of us who are living will be caught up with them. With our glorified bodies. The rapture will happen instantly. It will transform our bodies into the bodies that we need for eternity. Now, we should not get the rapture mixed up with the second coming of Christ. The rapture, we know the Lord comes in the air, in the clouds, and meets us in the air. And the second coming, the Lord descends all the way down the earth and stands on the Mount of Olives, and there'll be a great earthquake, and then he will destroy God's enemies during that time. Now, the doctrine of the rapture was not taught in the Old Testament. And that's why I believe that Paul was so focused on revealing this mystery. He said it was a mystery, a secret, that is now being revealed. Paul says it this way, and it's he says, I'm going to just read. Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery or a secret. And see, Paul knew that, you know, the word talk that a man was given once to die, you know, and in the judgment. And Paul said, yeah, I know that's all true, but let me share something else with you. Let me share a secret with you. It hadn't been talked about in the Old Testament, but this is what the Lord revealed to him. And this is a mystery. This is a secret. You know what? There's going to be, this is me talking now. There's going to be some people that's not going to die. Now, Paul and them, they thought they were going to see the rapture. You know, every generation thought they were going to see the rapture. Well, Paul's saying, you know what? We're not all, this is what he says, we will not all die. But we will all be changed in a flash. Now, us in here, we may not die. Do y'all believe that? We may not. Spiritually speaking, I'm never going to die. I'm kind of excited about that. And you're not either. If you're a born-again Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you're not going to die ever. Your old body might give up and we have to bury it one day, but that's not you. That's just your body, your earth suit. You know, you're a spirit, an awesome spirit, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. But in regards to the rapture, who knows when? But some of us may not die. When that sound goes off, you know, we may go. The rapture of the church is a glorious event that should be longed for. The word for that is Maranatha. Maranatha means come, Lord, quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Or something like that, right? Anybody familiar with that? Come quickly, Lord. That's what it means. Maranatha. I love the song that Tammy was playing at when they were taking up an offering. Anybody remember that old song? As a deer, panteth, how's it go? As a deer, yeah, the water is on my soul, pants for you. That's an old Maranatha song. Anybody remember the Maranatha music from the 70s and 80s? So a lot of this praise and worship music came out. Remember I talked about it before, the hippies got saved in California and they, you know, playing their flip-flops and acoustic guitars and singing about Jesus. That's really what it was, you know. And that Maranatha music came out. And then the Hosanna music. And then at least now it is what it is today. When this rapture happens, we will finally be free from sin. We will finally be free from the craziness that goes on in the world. We will be in God's presence. You see, the rapture should be comforting. It should be a doctrine that we teach more. It's encouraging. It's comforting. It's our blessed hope. We're Christ. You know, Adam sinned, brought sin in the world. Christ died and brought healing to the world. Because of what Christ done now, we have that blessed hope of living forever. When God raised him from the dead, he was the first to be raised from the dead. As evidence that that's what's going to happen to us. That's why God wants us to encourage each other with these words. We just read it. He said, encourage each other with these words. He said that he was coming back for us. He's going to prepare a place for us. He even said, look, if this was not true, I'd tell you it wasn't true. But I'm coming back. I'm coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Only because of Calvary can we say that we don't have a spot or a wrinkle. Oh, woe is me. I'm full of sin. Yeah, I may pastor a church and be a Christian counselor, but I'm a sinful, wicked man at the core. That's why we so desperately need Christ. We so desperately need Jesus. He paid the price for our sins. Now, let me take a turn with you. You ready? Got your big boy and big girl pants on? So hang with me. Then I'm going to take a turn. Now, for those left behind, it's going to be terrible. life will get very scary. Especially for those who had heard the gospel during their lifetime, rejected Jesus, and never got saved. I may be talking to some of you this morning. You may be thinking about your family members or your neighbors. God help those poor souls who grew up in church and had so many opportunities to give their life to Christ, to accept Jesus, and they rejected the free gift. You see, these folks will know exactly what's going on when the rapture happens. Without a doubt, they will know exactly what happens. And I believe these folks will live with the greatest fear that mankind has ever had to endure. When they hear the trumpet horn blow and Jesus shows up in the clouds and millions of people come out of the grave and millions of people just disappear right about the same time and they go missing, those folks who had heard the gospel and those folks who had grew up in church, they will know exactly what's going on. They will know exactly what's happening. Those left behind in the rapture will face a world that will quickly change like something they've never experienced, they've never heard of or read about in books in their whole life. And I'm telling you, my friend, it will not be like the books or the movies projected. At the rapture, the church is removed from the earth. And the Holy Spirit's restraint is taken out of the way. At that moment, the world will have no born-again believers anywhere. All the Christian workers in hospitals and nursing homes and orphanages and rescue missions and relief agencies, all gone. Every Christian that works in law enforcement, in the military, social work, and health care, and the governments of cities and states and countries around the world, all those Christian folks, men and women, gone. And of course, many churches will sit empty during that time. I told you this is a little bit different sermon than I normally preach, but this is what God put on my heart. Don't be left behind. Young folks, don't be left behind. Make sure you are ready for the rapture. The rapture of the church is for all the believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. If you don't want to be left behind, it is vital that you make it right with Christ today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins and fully trust Jesus alone for the payment of your sins. Believe in Him and you will not perish. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus knows who are His. And He promised He would never leave us. And Jesus will never leave one of His children behind. Amen? Those who are saved by faith in Christ will not be left behind after the rapture. They will not have to endure the 7-year tribulation. The saved people that I'm referring to are like the 5 wise virgins in Jesus' parable in Matthew, who were ready for the coming of the bridegroom. They have their lamps trimmed and burning and full of oil. And this is the symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. They're saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed for that day. Matthew 25, let me read it to you. Listen closely. Just listen to me. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish did not take enough olive oil for their lamps." Listen closely. "But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by a shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.'" Verse 7 says, "All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps have gone out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.'" This is Jesus teaching us here. Verse 10. "But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the doors were locked." Verse 11. "Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you.'" Verse 16, Jesus says, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Oh, how sad and fearful will those days be when people will be knocking on the doors of empty churches trying to get in, and then making their way in and running down to the altars, falling, begging. They'll be trying to call their saved family members. They'll be trying to text their pastors. They'll be trying to get in touch with all those Christian co-workers and neighbors. And no one will be found. They'll be gone. Just like I read in verse 10 just a few seconds ago. Verse 10 says, "But when they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and then the doors were locked." Just like in the days of Noah, I'm sure those people were knocking on the doors of that ark. "Let us in! Let us in!" But it was too late. It was locked. Today, my friends, Jesus is our ark, the Messiah, our Savior. And His door is wide open right now. He's even saying, "I stand at your door and knock on your heart. So if you'll open it up, He'll come in." His loving arms are extended to you this morning, right now, to make sure that you're not left behind. Trust in Christ today. Today is a salvation. Do not delay another moment. This is the most important decision that you'll not only make in your life, but in your eternal life. Trust Christ now. Come to this altar, if you will, if the Holy Spirit's drawing you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, for the ones that may be listening on the our website, on the internet, wherever they're at right now. They could be in their car or truck, at home, sitting at home listening. Lord, I pray that they will accept you in their heart and believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and they'll get saved. Father, there's one here this morning has never made that commitment, and they would like to get saved this morning and make sure, whether it's a young person or the oldest person in here. They want to make it right this morning. Father, I ask that you'll help them come on down here and we'll pray for them. Or maybe someone just needs to rededicate their life and say, you know, from this day forward, Father, I'm gonna serve you. I'm going to stop playing games, stop playing religion, playing church, and I'm going to start studying and praying and being faithful. Lord, I just pray right now for the lost family members, the sons and daughters and grandchildren, brothers and sisters and cousins. I know we've all got some. Where you said your word would go forth and would not return void. So, Father, we just pray in Jesus' name for our family members. Or some of our family members are got themselves in a mess. Some of them are, our family members are sick. We pray for healing in their bodies, healing in their brains, and healing in their organs. Father, we pray for the ones who may find themselves in legal problems. Father, you said that you have the heart of the king in your hand, and you can turn it any way you want to. Lord, we ask that your will be done in all their lives. Father, there's one that would like to join our church this morning. That'd be awesome. We'd love to talk to them about it. Maybe there's somebody that would like to get baptized. Pray for them. We just give it all over to you in Jesus' name. Amen.